Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Amen. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to be reading verses 6 through 8 in just a moment. We're concluding our series, More Blessed, this morning, taken from the words of scripture which say it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so I don't know anybody who would not want more of God's blessings. Amen. And so that's the theme of our series. And today's message is titled Generous Giving. It's the third message in this series. Last week we looked at abundant living, and anybody who wants to live an abundant life, if you missed that message, I encourage you to go back and listen to it online on our YouTube channel or on our Facebook page. So this morning's message is entitled Generous Giving. You know, I read the story of a young boy who in his teens was very impoverished, and so he wasn't very strong, and he was very skinny and small for his age, but somehow he had to make a living. So he got a big push cart. And he went out on the streets of Chicago trying to sell cheese. And so this tiny, skinny framed little boy was pushing this cart down the streets yelling, "Cheese for sale! Cheese for sale!" And this scrawny little kid managed to eke out enough money to live when he had no one else to help him. Years later, one of his relatives went to the church where this young man attended and had found Christ. And she shared with the pastor how her father had given his heart to Christ as a teen in that church, and how God blessed him because even though he had very little, he determined to tithe on all that he earned. Soon this young man was able to buy a second cart, and he hired someone else to start selling cheese for him. And then he bought another cart, and he bought another cart, and continued to expand. It wasn't too many years later when children in school were in a spelling bee, and one of the children was asked, "How do you spell cheese?" And one little boy with a bright smile said, "Cheese, you spell it K-R-A-F-T," because there was a TV commercial that said, "You spell cheese K-R-A-F-T," because how many of you know Kraft is one of the biggest cheese companies there is? J.L. Kraft's name had become synonymous with cheese. And J.L. Kraft was that scrawny, poor teenager who started pushing a pushcart on the streets of Chicago to sell cheese just so that he could eat and support himself. But he gave his heart to Christ as a teen and determined to honor God with all that he earned. And God honored him by prospering him. As head of the Kraft Cheese Empire, or the Kraft Cheese Company, he gave approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years. So he went beyond tithing to giving 25% of his income. And he one day said, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. The only investment I ever made that has given consistently increasing dividends is the money I gave to the Lord." You know what? God wants to bless our life, but God blesses those who honor him. Deuteronomy 28 tells us that God blesses those who are careful to follow all of his commandments. When we choose to live the way he wants us to live, God will bless us. In verse 8 of that chapter, where God is outlining the blessings that come to those who obey him, the scripture says, "The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord, your God, will bless you in the land he is giving you." That's a blessing promised to those who obey the Lord. Now, how many of you want God to bless everything you do and everything you have? Okay, about 25% of you. Let me ask that question one more time. Y'all thinking this is a trick question, all right? How many of you want God to bless everything you do and everything you have? I'm putting both hands up, amen? Well, God's blessings are guaranteed to those who follow his commands and live the way he's calling us to live. And he repeatedly calls us to live generous lives. Deuteronomy 15:10, he says, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. So again, here is this promise of blessing when we give generously and without a grudging heart. Proverbs 22:9 says, blessed are those who are generous. Blessed are those who are generous. And then our text for today's message is actually from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. The scripture says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Now, I want to reiterate that this passage of scripture is talking about offerings. Paul was receiving an offering to help the church in Jerusalem. The tithe is an established amount that God has set as 10% of our income. The offering is the amount above that, and it's up to each one of us to decide how much we will give. So he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He'll take it from grumpy people as well, but he loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. See, that's the promise. When we give generously, God will be generous to us. Amen? God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to buy a big screen TV. Is that what it says? No. Plenty left over to share with us, to keep giving. To keep giving, amen? Now, these are just a few scriptures that emphasize how God blesses generous giving. Generous giving leads to abundant living. Living in abundance is a cycle. In his goodness, God blesses us, and in response, we worship or honor him by giving back to him the first 10% and the offerings that our heart decides to give over and above that. We give in faith, believing his word, and he will open. This is what Malachi 3:10 says. When we honor him with bringing the tithe to him, he will open the windows of heaven and he will pour out abundant blessings that we don't even have room to receive. And when we give, he blesses and provides, so it increases our faith. As our faith increases, our giving increases because we say, I can't outgive God. The more I give, the more he gives back to me, and his blessings increase. So we serve a good and generous God who has blessed us and desires to bless us even more abundantly when we live generously. So what we want to talk about today is how do we, as followers of Christ, grow as generous givers to reflect our heart of abundant generosity and giving to God and be a blessing to others all around the globe. That's what we want to talk about today. We do apologize for the screen behind us. This is all new equipment, and for the last several months, we've been having some problems with the projector cutting in and out, and we have tried. It's between the guy that installed and the guy that's working on our computer. The guy that installed the equipment says it's our computer. Our computer guy says there's nothing wrong with the computer. And they're constantly back and forth, and I'm in between pulling my hair out. But one of these days, Jesus is going to give us victory. But if not here on earth, I know he's going to deliver us from technology in heaven. Amen. Anyhow, the first principle I want us to look at, generous giving is not about the amount, but the attitude of our heart. Generous giving is not about the amount, but the attitude of our heart. Generosity flows from our heart, not our wallet. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul talks about how the Macedonian churches, and we mentioned this in an earlier message, how the Macedonian believers were experiencing extreme hardship and they were very poor. Yet they pleaded time and time again for the privilege of giving an offering to help the impoverished believers in Jerusalem during a time of severe drought. And they gave, Paul says, beyond our expectancy. They gave beyond their ability, you know, beyond what they were really capable of giving. And in verse 5 of that chapter, he says, the reason they gave so generously and so sacrificially is because they first gave themselves to the Lord. And when God's got your heart, he'll also have your wallet. I'll just say that one more time. When God's got your heart, he'll also have your wallet. Amen. That's why somebody once said the last part of a person that gets saved is their wallet. Hallelujah. But in 2 Corinthians 8:8, Paul says, generous giving is a test of the sincerity of our love for God. Generous giving is a test of the sincerity of our love for God. If we sincerely love God, we are going to be generous givers. Jesus said it this way. He said, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Amen. Whatever you love and value most will be reflected in how you spend your money. Your bank book and your credit card does not lie. Hello? What do I mean? Just look at your bank statement. What do you spend the most money on? If you're a foodie, then there's going to be a lot of restaurant charges. Amen? If you love your house and decorating, there's going to be a lot of purchases for home improvements and furniture and decor and what have you. If you love technology, then there's going to be a lot of purchases for upgrading your computer, for upgrading your TV, et cetera, et cetera. And if you love the Lord, you will see a pattern on your bank statement of generous and faithful giving reflected. Amen? So how you spend your money reveals your heart. It's awful quiet in here. This is where we can say amen or oh me. But it's true. Your bank statement does not lie. The heart is the key to generous living. We give from our heart, not from our wallet. And when God's got our heart, then it is our joy and our privilege to give to him. And we know that we can't outgive God. So, you know, God will be a debtor to no one, the Bible says. And so when we give, we know he's not going to end up being a debtor to us. He's going to bless us back in abundance. Amen. You can never outgive God. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul tells us that each of us must decide in our heart how much to give. And there it is again, that giving flows from our heart. And once again, I call attention to the fact that he's not talking about the tithe. That's something God already set the amount on. That's 10%. He's talking about the offerings above and beyond the tithe. And he says that's something that we must determine in our own heart because giving flows from our heart. And in the second part of that verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7, the second part of that verse, he says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. You know, don't give because somebody is twisting your arm. Don't give because you feel a guilt trip. God wants us to give out of love for him. In verse 8, he says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God will bless you. Even what you have right now to be able to give has come from God. It didn't come from you, it came from God. You say, well, I work for it. Yeah, but God gave you the life. God gave you the strength. God gave you the health. God gave you the intellect or the talent or the ability, whatever you're using to earn money. That came from God. Amen. Amen. So whatever you have right now, it came from God. Amen. Just like the seed. Paul uses the analogy of a farmer planting seed. Just like the seed that a farmer plants. That comes from God. And so even what he's sowing into the ground came from God. And then, of course, you have to trust God to give the right amount of sunshine, to give the right amount of rain and everything else that's needed for that seed to germinate and to grow and to bear fruit. And so completely dependent on God from the very seed to the harvest. And that's how we are in our life. It's not an agricultural system today. We work many different types of jobs, but we are completely dependent on God from start to finish for everything that we have. And when we honor God with what he has given us by giving back to him, then God will generously bless us in return. And because we're giving out of our heart, we're giving out of love for God, we have joy in giving. We don't have to give, we get to give. It's a privilege. God doesn't need what we have because he owns everything. And he can quickly take away everything. Amen? But he doesn't need what we have, but we honor him when we give back to him. And in response, God will generously bless us, providing all of our needs and giving us beyond so that we can continue to give and bless others. A pastor shared a testimony of a lady in his church who had only a little over $5 left in her bank account. And they were receiving a special offering. And she later shared the testimony that she really wanted to give, but she only had a little over $5 in her bank account. And she thought about writing a check for $5. But she said, no, that's cutting it a little too close to the edge. I can't do that. So she finally decided, I really want to give something. So with tears in her eyes, she wrote a check for $1. She was embarrassed to have to write a check for just $1. But she said, I'm going to give it anyhow. So she dropped it in the offering and she prayed, God, multiply this to bless someone else. Later that week, she went to her life group, and a couple came up to her and said, we don't know why, but we've been praying about doing this for some time, and today we felt the confirmation. And they handed her an envelope. And when she opened the envelope, inside was a check for $1,000. And she was just blown away by the faithfulness and generosity of God. Amen? You can't outgive God. And when we give and we honor God, God is going to bless us in return. Amen? You can't outgive him. He's already given you life, and that's a gift that we can't repay. Amen? He has given you his son. He has given you forgiveness. He has given you salvation. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He has given you the promise of heaven. There's no way we can outgive what God has given us. He has given us countless mercies. He has given us help time and again. He has given us answered prayer. Praise God. He gives you health, he gives you strength, he gives you intellect and capacity to do your job. The very breath that we breathe comes from him. Paul says in Acts 17, 28, in him we live and move and have our being. We are completely dependent upon him for our life and existence. We owe him our very being. It has all come from him. So we can never outgive God, even if he never gives us anything again. Amen? He's already given us way beyond anything we could ever give him. But he continues daily to give, to bless, to prosper. And he promises that when we honor him with our giving, he will supply our needs and he will bless us with plenty so that we have to give to others. We can never outgive God. In Luke 18, 28 through 30, Peter says, we've left our homes to follow you. Yes, Jesus replied. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over, where? In this life, and will have eternal life in the world to come. So he says, you know what? You can never outgive God. God will repay for anything you give. God will repay you many times over in this life. And then in the life to come, there is eternal reward as well. Amen. You can't beat that kind of a deal. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can never outgive God. And that's a spiritual principle that cannot be changed. Second principle I want us to see, generous giving requires intention expressed in action. So the first principle is generous giving doesn't come from the wallet, it comes from the heart. Second principle, generous giving requires intention expressed in action. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Corinthians believers, they kept saying that they wanted to give to help the believers in Jerusalem that were suffering from famine. And they kept saying, we want to give. We want to give. For over a year, they were saying, yeah, we want to give. But up until this point, guess what? They hadn't given anything. In contrast, Paul tells them about the Macedonians who were going through extreme hardship and terrible poverty, and yet they begged time and time again, take another offering, take another offering. We really want to help the believers in Jerusalem. So they put action behind their words. Amen? So how do we become generous givers like the Macedonians? First of all, generosity has to be strategic. Generosity has to be strategic. Generous giving does not take place by accident. We have to prepare for it. We have to plan for it. There's times where we give on the spur of the moment, but if you really want to give generously as a lifestyle, it has to be planned for. Just like we plan for purchases in our life, don't we? If we want to buy a house or a car, what do? We budget and we tighten our belts and we save so that we can have the down payment to buy that house and then even later on to be able to make the payments on that house or on that car. Or ladies, I'm not really a fashionista, so I'm not sure what's quite popular right now, but you might say, I want to get that Louis Vuitton purse. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, it's going to be mine. And man, I'm going to look fine walking into church with my outfit. Hallelujah. Or some of you might say, you know what? A new iPhone is coming out, and I really need to get that new iPhone. Oh, it costs over $1,000, but I just have to have it because I can serve Jesus so much more effectively if I have that new iPhone. I can watch the services on it. Hallelujah. I can keep in touch with my church family on it. So God wants me to have that new iPhone. And so we devise a plan. Amen. It may really not fit into our budget, but we devise a plan for how we can get what we want, what we hold as important to us. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. We plan to be a consumer, a generous consumer. Our generosity is to the stores that we're buying from. We plan to be a generous consumer, but do we plan to be a generous giver? It's awful quiet in here. Listen to what Isaiah says, Isaiah 32:8. But generous, the New Living Translation uses the word generous. Other versions say liberal or noble, but the Hebrew word actually means generous and willing. So the New Living Translation says, but generous people plan. Generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. What he's saying is, you budget into your budget the ability to be generous, and then you stand firm in that. You don't see, Black Friday sale comes up and there's a TV I wasn't expecting to buy, but man, it's such a good deal. I'm going to take that money I've been setting aside for the Lord, and I'm sure God would want me to have that TV. No, you make your plan, you budget in generous giving into your budget, and then you stand firm in your generosity. Hallelujah. You can't get mad at me because I didn't say it. God said it through the prophet Isaiah. So you got to get mad at Isaiah. Well, he ended up being sawn in two for his preaching. I guess some other people didn't like what he said, so they martyred him for the sake of his preaching. Or you can get mad at God, amen? But it's Bible. And if we're going to believe the Bible at all, then we've got to believe it all. Amen? And this is Bible. So God wants us to be generous, and he tells us in order to be generous people, we have to plan to do what is generous, and then stand firm in that generosity. Now we often say, I really, really would like to give more. But we keep saying I want to give more, and it's not happening. And it won't happen if we don't plan for it. You say, well, it doesn't fit into our budget. Well, maybe there's some things in your budget, just like when you tighten your belt to buy a house or buy a car. And you say, okay, because I want to buy a house or I want to buy a car or want to buy something else that's important to me, I'm going to cut out eating out so often, or I'm going to cut out this membership or what, so that I can afford what I want. Now, we do that as a consumer, but God says we need to do that as a giver. Hallelujah. One quick way you could do it, if you go out to the restaurant, have you noticed how much it is just to buy one drink? And I'm not talking alcoholic, because of course we're Christians, we don't drink. I'm just talking soda. Nowadays, you can go into, I'm not talking upscale restaurant, regular restaurant, and a soda can be $3.99. A cup of coffee can be $7 in some places. You cut out a couple of those things, and there you have an offering on a regular basis over and above your tithe that you can now afford because you're drinking water and not the bottled kind, just the kind that comes out of the tap. Hallelujah. If you want to go to heaven, you got to love me. Praise you, Jesus. I'm just saying it the way it is, folks, all right? There's always something we can cut out so that we can plan to be generous to God. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, had a plan for generous giving. This is what he said. Earn all you can. Save all you can. Cut out unnecessary expenses that indulge the flesh, like that extra soda or gourmet coffee. Why? So that you can give all you can. So I want to say that again. This is John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, a great revivalist. He said, earn all you can, save all you can, cut out unnecessary expenses that indulge the flesh so that you can give all you can. One pastor shared how there's a man in his congregation that started tithing years ago as a young man. And he made a resolution. He made a commitment to God, a plan for giving. That every year he was going to increase his tithe by 1%. And that pastor said that that man is now giving over 30% of his income annually. What did that man have? He had a strategic plan to live generously. It's awful quiet in here, but that's okay. Generosity requires strategic planning. We can't just sit around and wish that we could give more. Oh, we don't gamble as Christians, but there's some people. If I just won the lottery, oh, Pastor, I would be so generous. Well, we don't gamble. We don't buy lottery tickets because we don't trust the luck, and the odds are so against you, you're really throwing money away. But that's another sermon for another day. We are to be good stewards of God's money, and so that's why we don't gamble. But anyhow, you can sit around wishing all you want. If I won the lottery, which is the most unlikeliest thing that would happen, that I would be generous. But if we're not already being generous with what we have, it is very unlikely that if a bunch of money got into our hands, we would be generous with that. But that's another sermon for another day. Generosity requires strategic planning. Generosity also takes place spontaneously. There's the part that you plan for, but there's the part that takes place spontaneously. The Good Samaritan is an example of spontaneous giving, of how when you live generously and an opportunity presents itself, you spontaneously give. What happened with the Good Samaritan? He saw a man who had been beaten and left for dead on the side of the road, and he had compassion upon him, and he took the man, he bound up his wounds, he put him on his animal. In our case, we would put him in our vehicle, for instance, and he drove him to a nearby inn or took him to a nearby inn, and he spent the night taking care of him. And in Luke 10:35, the next day, he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper to pay the bill for the man. And he says, now you take care of him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses that you may have. What was he doing? He was living generously, and he saw an opportunity of need that presented itself, and he met that need. Generosity is a disposition of the heart. A generous person is always ready to give of themselves, to give of their time, to give of their energy, and to give of their resources, not just when it is planned for, but when the need presents itself. Generous givers hear of a need and they want to give. They want to help. Like the Macedonians, hearing about the need in Jerusalem of starving Christians due to extreme famine, and they wanted to help, and they asked time and time again, take an offering, give us another opportunity to give, because they were living generously, even though they were extremely poor, but they heard of a need, and they wanted to meet that need. It could be when we take a special offering here at church, to help the victims of a hurricane, or to help build the impoverished church in Cuba, or the persecuted church in India, as we have done in the past. And when we see those needs, our heart is moved. And even though we didn't plan in the moment to give, our heart is moved with compassion, and so we give. So generous giving must be strategically planned, but it also takes place spontaneously. And generous giving is sacrificial. Generosity is sacrificial. There are many examples of sacrificial giving in Scripture, but one that really stands out to me is in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. It tells that Jesus sat down by the temple treasury where the offering for the support of the temple was given. And he watched when everyone gave. So they had a particular place where there was a container, a box of type, where they would come and they would put their offerings for the support of the temple. And so Jesus sat by that box and he watched as everyone gave. The rich people came and they put in large amounts of money. But a poor widow woman came and she gave just two small copper coins. They were worth only a few cents. And in verse 43 of that chapter, Jesus said, calling his disciples to him, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their abundance or their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." Now, a couple of things stand out to me in this passage of Scripture. The first one is that it is significant to note that giving to support the work of the Lord's house is important to God, so much so that Jesus sat down to watch how much each person put in. And that tells me God watches us today as well. It's awful quiet in here. Hallelujah. Amen, Pastor Maria. Preach the truth. It's Bible. Hallelujah. Every time the offering is being taken, the Lord is watching. So that's one thing we can get out of this passage. Secondly, the Lord measures giving not by how much we give, but by how much we keep. He measures our giving by the sacrifice that it requires. The wealthy gave out of their abundance, their surplus. All of their needs were already met. All of their bills were already paid, and they had money in the bank, and so they gave out of their surplus. And God accepts that offering. Jesus didn't condemn them or rebuke them for doing that. God accepts their offering. But this widow gave out of her need. The money she needed for food, the money she needed to pay bills, the money she needed for rent, all that she had, she gave. Maybe she had to miss some meals that week. Maybe she had to go without oil for her lamps. But she gave all that she had. And even though it was just 2 cents, Jesus said she gave more than all the rest of the people, the rich people. Jesus doesn't condemn the big donations of the wealthy. But he says God values her giving more because of the sacrifice that it took. Because she put God first and gave all that she had. See, generosity has nothing to do with the size of your bank account. It has everything to do with the size of your love for God. When the Lord has our heart, we will give sacrificially, and it will be no sacrifice for us. It will be something that we joyfully and willingly do. As I was preparing this message, I ran across a story about a little boy who went to church one Sunday to get out of the cold. He had been trying to sell newspapers because his family was poor, and he was trying to sell newspapers on the road. But no one in the cold, freezing temperatures was passing by to buy any papers. And so he slipped into the church to warm up for a little bit, and he sat on the very back row as the minister preached a powerful and moving message about who Jesus is and all that he had done for us. At one point during the service, they took an offering, and one of the ushers came up to that back row right where the boy was sitting, and he held out the offering plate right in front of the boy. The boy looked at the plate, looked at the usher, and after a long pause, the boy asked the usher to put the plate on the floor. Then the boy stepped into the offering plate, first 1 foot, and then the other. And he slowly looked up with tears streaming down his face. And he said, "Mister, I don't have no money. I haven't sold a single paper today. But if Jesus did everything the minister says he did for me, then I will gladly give my life for him." When we truly realize all that Jesus has done for us, it is no sacrifice at all for us to say, "Lord, I want to give you all that I am." We give our heart to him. There is nothing we will withhold from him. We will give generously and sacrificially of ourselves and of our resources to worship him and to advance his kingdom purpose. And it will be no sacrifice at all. It will be a joy and a privilege. Now, the first step to living generously is giving our heart to Christ. And that's what he wants more than anything else. All of us were sinners, and we were separated from God by our sin. And that's the whole reason that Jesus left heaven and emptied himself of all of that glory and came to earth in the poverty of a human being. And then he offered his life on the cross of Calvary, so that through him, as we repent of our sins — and the word repent simply means to turn away — when we repent of our sins, we realize we're heading in the wrong direction, we make a U-turn, we say, "God, forgive me. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live for you, and I invite you to come and live inside of my life." The moment we do that, we are born again. God forgives us. He gives us eternal life, and he comes to live inside of us. And if you're here today, or you're listening online, and you have never repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus — you're not here by accident, you're not listening by accident — God loves you. God wants a relationship with you, and he is calling you unto himself. And so I want to invite you, if you've never repented of your sins or placed your faith in Jesus, or maybe you did it some years ago and you've drifted away and you need to come back, would you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life, and I turn to you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite you to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, we want to congratulate you and welcome you to the family of God. You just made the best decision of your life, amen. And I want to ask you, if you are here in person and you prayed that prayer, just simply text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. We want to send you free of charge a little e-booklet. Likewise, online, if you just prayed that prayer, type "I prayed" in the comments. A little later today, you will get a response message with a link. Click on that link and fill in your name and email address, because we would like to send you free of charge a little booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how now to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. And we also want to encourage those that just prayed, along with all believers, to do three things regularly to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Start by thanking him for every good thing in your life, because all blessings come from him. And then talk to him about whatever problems, difficulties, struggles, or decisions you're making, and ask his help. So pray, talk to God every day. He's your Father. He wants to hear from you. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And the number one way God talks to us is through the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app on your phone for free. That's Y-O-U version. Just search for it in your app store. There's never a charge. You can read the Bible as frequently as you desire without charge. And start reading in the book of 1 John. It's just a short book in the New Testament. It tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Read a few chapters every day, maybe five or six verses. Ask God to help you understand what you're reading before you read, and how to apply what you do understand to your life. Do that every day. And then regularly attend a local church, a local Assembly of God church, and get connected. Put down roots. Develop relationships in that church body. That's how we grow, as people walk alongside of us and encourage us and live out the Christian life in flesh for us to see, and they help us and support us and pray for us. That's how we grow spiritually. So get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, then of course we welcome you here at New Life Assembly in Pembroke Pines. If you're outside of the area, then find a local Assembly of God church near to you. But once again, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. For those of us who are already believers, I want to ask you, are you living generously? Generosity starts in our heart, not in our wallet or our bank account. When we've truly realized how generous God has been to us, we respond by giving our lives back to Him. We want to give Him in gratitude, and we realize that He has blessed us to be a blessing so that the gospel can be preached and many can come to Christ and know Him. So how's your generosity? How's your giving? And would you commit today to start giving your tithes if you're not already doing so, and also to strategically plan in your budget to increase your giving so that you can give sacrificially, so that you can give generously above and beyond your tithe. If that's your heart's desire to be a generous giver, as God calls us to be, would you stand to your feet right where you are? Hallelujah. You at home as well, respond to the word today. And you that are standing, just take time to talk to the Lord yourself right now and make that commitment to plan strategically to be a generous giver. Just talk to the Lord yourself as I just pray over us right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful response. 100% of the people standing in response to your word today and saying, yes, Lord, we want to be obedient to your word. We want to be generous givers, Lord God. And Father, we thank you because you have been so generous with us and you continue to be. And we know we could never outgive you, but because of your incredible generosity to us, we thank you, we love you, and we just want to give our best back to you, Lord God. And so we make a commitment to you today, not only to tithe faithfully as your word calls us to do, but Father, to plan strategically so that we can increase our giving, so that we can give above and beyond with joy, Lord God, and to do so diligently and faithfully. Father, I know that we cannot outgive you. So I know that as we make this commitment today and we begin to put it into action, your blessings are going to flow in increased measure towards your people, because you promised that as we give generously, you would bless us generously so that we have not only to meet our needs, but we have above and beyond to give even more. And so we look with expectancy as we step out in faith and obedience that your blessings will attend our way in abundance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.